Mishnah Chet, Perek Aleph of Kilam, continues in the same vein as Mishnah Zayin. Mishnah Zayin talks about grafting trees with trees, or vegetables or plants with other trees. And now the Mishnah Chet is going to continue and discuss various circumstances that maybe would not appear automatically like grafting, but nonetheless are prohibited. So the Mishnah starts, Einot Nin, you cannot place Yirakot, greens or plant greens, betoch sadan shel shikma. You can't place these plant greens inside the stump of a sycamore. Sycamore trees were routinely chopped back or pruned back so that only the trunk was left standing, and you can't place a green plant or something like that on top of the sycamore, lest you end up with kilayim. The Mishnah continues to explain, Ein markivin, you can't take ru, pegam al gabe kid'a levana, and you can't graft it to cassia, b'neshu yarak b'ilan, because this is also considered grafting plants onto trees, or greens onto trees. We now have two specific cases that are a little different in our Mishnah, that also try to let us know the parameters of kilayim. Ein notin yichud shel te'ena, you cannot plant a sign of fig, letok ha-chatzuv, inside a chatzuv, shiye mikero, in order that it will be cold, like car cold. There's some debate about exactly what this means. The Rosh suggests that it may be that the fig somehow, if the chatzur is a very hot, spicy plant, then the fig somehow cools down the heat of the plant. In other words, it becomes like a slightly tastier thing. It's also possible, according to the Rosh, that perhaps it literally means that you are hanging this sort of fig branch over the chatzuv to provide it with a shade and cooling it down. Alternatively, and this may make slightly more sense if one follows the next line of the Mishnah, which we'll read in a second, it could literally mean that the chatzuv cools the fig branch, and that when one puts the fig branch, the sign of the fig, into chatzuv, it can draw lots of liquid from this chatzuv plant. So those are your three options, but in all those cases, you cannot do so because it's considered kilayim. The Mishnah continues with another case. Ein tochavin zmora shel gefen. You cannot take the branch of a grapevine, letok avatiach shetehe zorechet me'mea letocho. So you can't take the branch of a grapevine and place it into a watermelon so that it will benefit from all the water, so all the waters will spill out into it. Mipnei shehu ilan biyarak, because this true is a tree, the prohibition of the tree with the greens. So we have possibly two cases where one is not trying to create a new variety of plant, but simply trying to provide one plant with assistance from another, i.e. either, the fig dampens the heat or, dampens the spiciness of the spicy plant, or the avatiach helps with the grape leaves that, waters it very fully. In all these cases, you aren't allowed to do it because of the prohibition of grafting, despite the fact that you're not grafting to come up with a new plant. Our Mishnah ends with Ein notnin zera dla'at. You can't take a gourd seed, okay, and place it letoch, and place it hachalamit shetehe mishamrato, within the mallow, mipnei shehu yarak biyarak, because this is going to be an issue of greens within greens. So again, you can't take a gourd seed and place it inside a mallow that will protect it, because this is also considered green within greens. But what happened is a gourd was normally planted around springtime. And if you put a gourd seed into the ground before the ground is warm enough, then it just won't germinate. It'll just die. You won't have a gourd crop. So what I guess they did was they would put the gourd seed inside a winter plant, like a mallow. And therefore, the heat of the growing mallow would allow the gourd seed to germinate. And this Mishnah, again, makes it clear that this is forbidden to do, even though here, you're not even talking about I guess you could say you're not even talking about the seed benefiting. In other words, our first cases were somehow the fig leaf, you know, the fig shoot or the grape shoot, the grapevine were benefiting from being put in these very watery other plants. Here, you know, it's not even drawing sustenance so much from the mallow as it is simply existing near the mallow and benefiting from the heat. So again, even in these more extreme cases, or not extreme cases, but even these cases where you might be inclined to think that key lime does not apply, the Mishnah comes to tell us that it does. After Mishnah Chet takes the time to point out that even some fairly extreme cases are still considered key lime, Mishnah Tet comes along and reassures us that the key lime does not apply to every single thing in the universe. It explains Hatomen Lefet Utsnonos Tachat Hagefen. So if you store turnips or radishes under a grapevine, Im hayu miktsatz alav megulin, if their leaves are exposed, i.e. these various bundles of plants are buried under the ground near a grapevine, but you can see the leaves still poking out, ein choshesh lo mishum kilaim, you do not need to be concerned about kilaim, i.e. the idea that the grapevine somehow is going to have some impact on these plants, velo mishum shviz, and you don't need to be concerned about the shviz here. Velo mishum maasros, you don't need to be concerned about the maasros. And you can even v'nitalim v'shabbat, you can even take them out of the ground on Shabbat. The idea being that with many of these root vegetables, even in this day and age, it is ideal to bury them or keep them in a root cellar or somewhere dark so that they don't spoil or go bad. So what was happening was back in the day, people would just dig up a hole in the ground and place these root vegetables together. Clearly, they don't want them to take root, and they just want to bury them to protect them from drying out or dying. Because this underground storage is so completely and clearly different from planting, and because it's very clear from the fact that, you know, you have them all bundled together, we assume that this is not going to have a problem with key lime. As a matter of fact, the Rosh and the Rash even make it clear that should the turnips or radishes, you know, grow a little bit extra root or something like that while they're in the ground after you've buried them only to protect them, then even in a situation like that where they're planted in a vineyard, you don't need to be worried about key lime because ultimately you didn't want them to grow and you have no interest in their growth whatsoever. This idea also, then, the Mishnah extends it to not just discuss key lime, but as we read, it talks about shvius and masro. So even though you're not allowed to plant during the Shemitah year, you are allowed to bury these vegetables during the Shemitah year because, again, you're not trying to plant. And again, if you are digging up these bundles of vegetables, then you don't need to be worried about masros. In other words, taking them back out of the ground does not mean that you need to tithe them in any way, shape, or form. And also very interesting is you can take them out even on the Shabbos because, after all, they're not growing from the ground anymore, they're simply being stored in the ground. This is why it mentions the idea that the leaves must be sticking out of the ground, because obviously if you had to dig them up out of the ground, then that would be a problem on Shabbos. The end of our Mishnah clarifies, Hazorea chita usorak achat, so if you were to plant a wheat grain and a barley grain together, hareze kilaim, the Tanakhama explains that this is kilaim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Ein kilaim ad shehu shtei chitim sora, o chita ushtei sorim, o chita usora vechusemet. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it actually does not become kilaim until there are two wheat grains and one barley grain, or a wheat grain and two barley grains, or a wheat grain, a barley grain, and a spelt grain. So our Mishnah concludes by making it clear that it is usher to sow even a single seed of one species together with a single seed of another species. However, it seems Rabbi Yehuda maintains that planting of kilaim must involve a minimum of three seeds, right, as we saw. One to characterize a place as a field, like one to actually set it up as a field itself, and the other two to constitute the kilaim. So Rabbi Yehuda understands this from our Pasuk in Vayikra, Sadcha lo tizra kilaim, that you shall not sow your field kilaim, in which the term sadcha, the field, is understood as a land on which something is already growing, not an empty land. Therefore, if you had a completely empty land, it might be that, according to Rav Yehuda, if you sow two grains of wheat and one of barley, one grain of wheat is needed in order to characterize a spot as a field. That sort of becomes the nature of the fields, or stakes the claim, as it were, to the fact that this is a field. And then the remaining mixture of a grain of barley and a grain of wheat constitutes kilaim. Alternatively, the Rosh also explains that it's entirely possible Rav Yehuda assumes that the verb to sow used in the pasuk refers to a minimum of three seeds. In other words, without having three seeds, you're not sowing a field, and therefore you need the three seeds to be considered sowing kelim.